Magi kene naika o ki bakara jana. Someone try. Mantages, ladies. Word for word translation, Puri, O Madhavendra Puri. A Dagdalana, taking this milk, Karatumipana, drink it, Magi, by begging, Kene, why, Nahi, not, Kaho, you eat. Kiba, what? Kara, do. Dhyana, meditation. So translation by His Divine Grace, His Confound Acharya, Srila Bhajan Vinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Oh, Madhavendra Puri, please drink the milk I have brought. Why don't you beg some food to eat? What kind of meditation are you undergoing? Please responsibly repeat. Oh, Madhavendra Puri, please drink the milk I have brought. Why don't you beg some food to eat? What kind of meditation are you undergoing? Om Agyanat Miranda Sya Gyana Jana Salaka Esak Sola Mehitam Yena Tismai Si Guru Venam Ha Si Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sati Hitam Yena Bhutali Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, this is Lord Krishna who is speaking to Madhavendra Puri. And this was at Govardhan. Madhavendra Puri was on his way to Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri, and he got to Govardhan and he went to take a shower at Govindakund. So after taking a shower, he's been fasting, so he was there chanting his mala, doing his bhajan, and he was to take his rest. He was to sleep under a tree, not in a starlight hotel. He was to sleep under a tree. He had nothing to eat, and he was fasting. And he had taken the vow not to beg food from anybody. Madhukaris, you go, you beg. You're hungry, you go from door to door, you beg. And immediately you get more than enough you could eat. If you want to preserve it, which is not even allowed, then you could do it. But it's not even allowed. You're not supposed to preserve what you're begging. You just beg to eat and finish. But Madhavendra Puri has taken a vow not to beg. Whatever that comes his way, if Krishna inspires someone wants to give him food, then he will take. But for begging, no way. So when he was under the tree, fasting, so one superlatively handsome boy came to him with a pot of milk. And the boy was so beautiful that immediately Madhavendra saw him, Madhavendra Puri saw him, the whole of his hunger and taste disappeared. The boy gave him the milk and he told Madhavendra Puri, please drink this milk. I have brought this milk for you. My friend, why don't you beg? Why don't you beg others like others do? You go door to door, beg, and then you eat something. Why you unnecessarily austere? Why don't you beg? So, the boy said, what type of meditation are you doing? That you can't even have time to beg food. So this was just part of a greater scenario. Before we go into these details, let's understand where Madhavendra Puri appeared. He appeared in modern-day Bangladesh. Before, at that time, the whole of Bangladesh was part of India, part of Bharata. He appeared in a place called Brahmagaon. In fact, it's near to where Advaita Acharya even appeared. So, there is not much that is known about his teenage life based on historiography. But his devotion to Krishna was so pronounced. He belonged originally to Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And he made a lot of contributions to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. In fact, there are three outstanding contributions of Madhavendra Puri to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. One of them is that he was a pioneer of excavation of the place of pilgrimage in Braja, a work that was followed by Rupa and Sanatana. Now, when he came to Govardhan and was taking rest there, and this young boy came to him, and he offered him the milk. He accepted the milk. But when the boy queried him, he asked him, but who are you? And where do you reside? How do you know that I'm fasting? Tell me something. So the boy said, you know what? You know, women, some women used to come to fetch water in the Kund here. They saw you. And they told me that, you know, there's some sadhu there. Take this milk to him. So I came. I reside in this village. And you ask, who am I? My name is Gopal. So after taking the pot of milk, and the boy left. He started going. All of a sudden, he disappeared. Anyway, he was not so much worried because his taste and hunger was already satisfied, and the boy has really, you know, given him so much of inner satisfaction just by his beauty. And so he was wondering, who could this boy be? He couldn't really figure out. But the whole of that night, he couldn't sleep. He was contemplating, who is this person? And so the whole night, he was chanting japa under a tree, not in a starlight hotel. So towards the dawn of the night, he dozed off. And this same handsome boy, he came to him. And he mentioned that, look, I am in the forest, in the dense of forest here. whether if there is snow, it's on me. If there is scorching heat, it's on me. If there is rain, it's on me. Do something. Try to see that you get me out from this dense forest where I'm being scorched by the heat and snowed, rain. Get me out from this place. And put me on Govardhan. Try to set me up on Govardhan. Install me on Govardhan. And when Madhavendra Puri woke up from his dream, he was lamenting like anything. He thought, what? The Krishna I'm worshipping all these years, he came to me physically and I couldn't recognize him. But Krishna has given him an instruction, so he had to execute it. But right within himself, he was superlatively happy that he had darshan of Lord Krishna. So first, Krishna came to him physically. This is the power of devotion. And keep in mind that Madhavendra Puri is no other person than a Kalpa Vriksha. You know, in the Brahma Samhita, the spiritual world is described, Goloka Vrindavan is described, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu, Kalpa Vriksha. Kalpa Vriksha, desire trees in Goloka Vrindavan. Madhavendra Puri is a Kalpa Vriksha. And so when Krishna gave him this instruction, he went to the village and, you know, gathered the elders, gathered the people, told them, this is what is happening. Gopal is right there in the dense of forest and he wants to be excavated, brought on top of Govardhan Hill, be installed there and be worshipped. So, immediately the people were in dexterity. They want it done right now. So, Madhavendra Puri told them, the forest is very dense. Carry your choppers, spades, so that you clear the way as we are going. So Madhavendra Puri led the troop. And this is just one day. He didn't wait for the next day. On the spot delivery. So he led this group of the villagers who are carrying different instruments to clear the way. And he led them right into the dense of forest. And they all saw Gopal. So all the villagers, they were pleasantly surprised. And immediately they started. Brought him out from where he was staying. And, you know, they took him up to Govardhan Hill. They set a slab, put him there. And that was a whole huge ceremony that followed. Anakut ceremony. Anyway, so cut matters short, after this whole ceremony, some very pious Kshatriya came to build a temple. But the point is, the whole of these events took place one day, besides, apart from the temple construction. All of these things took place one day. And the villagers, they brought all sort of grains and milk products to be able to perform the Anakut ceremony. And even the Anakut, it didn't just end that day. I mean, it was like a whole protracted event of daily people coming to perform the Anakut ceremony, because people from other villages, even people from Mathura, indigenous people from Mathura, they had to come all the way from Mathura to Govardhan to beg Madhavendra Puri that, please give us a chance. We want to also perform the Anakut ceremony. So it was like a continuous thing for several days. Anyway, on that very day when this major ceremony took place, at the end of the day, Madhavendra Puri appointed some people who have to be responsible for the deity. He personally put the deity to rest. And the worship actually went on very gloriously. Then one day, Gopal again appeared to Madhavendra Puri. He told him, look, the heat that I've been subjected to in the forest is still, I'm still feeling the effect. You know, it's like, you know, when you take some medications, you have some effects for a long time. So Gopal said, that heat that I've been subjected to in the forest is still, I'm still bearing the effect. So you go and bring me sandalwood pulp so that you could smear on my body. Sandalwood and a mixture of sandalwood and camphor. Again, Mother Vendapuri did not hesitate. He had to travel all the way from Govardhan. He was going to Jagannath Puri, not by first-class airplane. He went by a jog trot. That's the plane he went with. The name of the plane he went with is called a jog trot. A jog trot means walking. He walked all the way. And when he got to Ramuna, where the famed Gopinath temple, Gopinath deity is, so he passed he passed some time there. Because it's a long distance. So when he was at Gopinath temple in Ramuna, so he was discussing with the pujari. And then when he was discussing with the pujari, he saw that, you know, the Gopinath temple was Gopinath deity was being offered some sweet rice. And so he just thought, oh, how I wish if someone, even without asking, could give me some of that sweet rice, and I'll taste it, and I'll know exactly the taste, and then I'll see how to make exactly like that to my Gopal. And then when he had his thought, he started blaming himself. Oh my God, I'm so offensive. How could I think like this? But again, Krishna is the witness of everything. Krishna knows his desire. So in the night, 12 pots of sweet rice were offered to the deities. And a Gopinath stole one of the pots of the sweet rice. He put it behind his curtain. And when the pujari was sleeping, Gopinath came to the pujari and told him, have removed one of those pots of sweet rice. I kept it behind my curtain. Take it and go to the open marketplace where my devotee, Mother Vendapuri, is right there. It's one of the stores in the open marketplace. So go there. So the pujari, he woke up from the dream. He went to check behind the curtain, and he found this pot of sweet rice. Of course, he took his shower before going to the altar, as is the tradition for a pujari. So when he went there, he removed the pot of sweet rice, he mopped the place, and he took the pot of sweet rice, and he went to the marketplace. And he was searching for Mother Vendapuri. He was proclaiming, who is that blessed Mother Vendapuri? Please, would you come out and collect this sweet rice that was stolen specifically for you by the deity, by Gopal. Gopal has some a sweet rice reserved for you. He took this and said, I should look for you. Please, Mother Vendapuri, please come out. Wherever you may be, please come out and collect your gift. Mother Vendapuri had this, and he came to meet the pujari. So immediately the pujari paid obeisances to him. He thought, this is not an ordinary person, because for Gopal to even steal something for someone, he's not an ordinary soul. He paid obeisances to him. He gave him the pot of sweet rice. And again, he paid obeisances to him, and then he left. Now, this is a tradition. When the, for instance, the disciple sees the guru, his guru or her guru, immediately he pays obeisances. If he's living, again he pays obeisances. This is the tradition with the Vaishnav culture. So, Mother Vendapuri collected this pot of sweet rice, and he ate it. When he ate it, he was in ecstasy. And not only did he eat it, he washed a part of sweet rice, break into pieces, and, you know, wrap them up in his outer garments. So each day, he would pick one of the pieces of pot, of the earthen pot, and he would eat it. Imagine how someone should eat earthen pot. That is not the sweet rice. This is but each time he take a piece of this earthen pot, again he will swoon, fall into ecstasy. He realized that now this information will go around and people will come to try to see this Madhavendra Puri. So before dawn, he quickly went away from that scenario on his way to fulfill the desire, fulfill the instructions of Gopa. He headed for Jagannath Puri. So as you go to Jagannath Puri, there are a lot of lessons that come with this, and we will discuss it. As he went to Jagannath Puri, he told the priest there about his mission and what really transpired about Gopal seeking for help from them. And so all of the devotees there, they volunteered to do one thing or the other. Someone would volunteer to go and meet government officials to collect, you know, documents. Because at that time, to carry sandalwood and camphor beyond the province of Orisha was like a tug of war. There was so much of security. I mean, it's like a country where they're producing gold. And if you go to that country and you try to carry even one pebble of gold, small piece of gold, you could be in trouble. But that was the instruction Krishna gave to Madhavendra Puri. It doesn't mean that Krishna didn't know the challenges involved with trying to procure sandalwood and camphor from Orisha. He knew. It was a challenging task. But he had told Madhavendra Puri, you are the only one who has to do this, and you must do it, and you must go for it. So to get close to Krishna is not also always very juicy. He gives us challenging tasks. Again, we find in the pastimes of Krishna and his Gopal friends, at some point in time, Krishna told Subal, at the time that Radharani was under serious security, Krishna told Subal, I want Radharani right here. Go bring her. It wasn't an easy task. But again, Subal had to generate some ideas. He was very creative. And he was able to execute that instruction. So here, we find when Madhavendra Puri went to Jagannath Puri, he got all his devotees informed, and then they helped him. They got they followed all of the official procedure. There was no pranks. They didn't say, well, Krishna's two Bhagavans, Krishna owns everything. He's the Supreme Person of God. We don't need documents. He just take the sandalwood and go. No, it wasn't done like that. So when he finished all of this documentation, then he started heading for Govardhan. But then again, he had to sleep over. He got to Ramuna and had to sleep over. But even before then, the sandalwood and the camphor was to be confiscated. And luckily for him, he had all of the documents from the government. So he showed to the security agents, look, these are the documents permitting me to go with this. So they let him pass. Again, when he came to Ramuna, he slept there. The pujari attended to him. He gave him nice prasadam, sweet rice. And when he was in his sleep in Ramuna, again, Gopal appeared to him. And he told him, you know what? All the sandalwood and the camphor you've gotten, get them grounded and spare on Gopinath. Keep in mind that because Gopinath deity stole the sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri, he became famed as Chira what? He became like a transcendental pastime that lasts. The name become famous. Now, if we steal, we're not going to be famous. If Krishna steals, he becomes famous. So, Gopinath became Chirachora. Chirachora Gopinath. A Gopinath who stole the sweet rice. So when he came there, Gopal appeared to him. When he came to Ramana, Gopal appeared to him again and told him he has to use all of his resources, all of the sandalwood and the camphor, and use it on Gopinath. He said, Gopinath and me, we the same. If you use the camphor and the sandalwood, you grind it, if you use it to serve Gopinath, then my body will be cooled. So you do this. So he said, okay. So he woke up, he told the priest, I'm offering this sandalwood and camphor, you grind it, and, you know, use it on Gopinath. So they were extremely happy. Yeah, Sri Radha Madhava Sakubindu Kija. So he used all of this paraphernalia, all of this camphor and the sandalwood he had suffered so much to get from Puri on Gopinath. Now, one important thing is that the commentary in this very scenario, Prabhupada was mentioning that because the priest had a message from Krishna to give to Madhavendra Puri, he said, the priest and Madhavendra Puri, they are on the same level. Because just like Krishna is communicating with Madhavendra Puri, Krishna is also communicating with the priest. So again, we find that one could say, well, he was just an ordinary priest. But Krishna does not look at our social status. He looks at our love for him. And therefore, we have to understand that it is not even how many years that we've been doing a particular service that matters. Trees hang on a planet for hundreds and hundreds of years. What Krishna wants basically is our love and devotion. Therefore, we find that we may say he's an ordinary priest. He's not a big-time preacher. How could he be on the same level with Madhavendra Puri? So when we go deeply, we find that the same qualities, the same reciprocation Krishna is giving. And so, how can we argue that? Anyway, when he executed Krishna's instructions, Krishna became very pleased. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was narrating this incident to Nityananda Prabhu, he mentioned that, he placed the whole scenario, the whole episode of Madhavendra Puri before Lord Nityananda. And he said, you judge for yourself who this personality could be. Look at his devotion, unparalleled, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotion. Sometimes we are giving some service and we feel, this is too much for me. If Krishna is God, how is he asking me to do this? This is beyond my reach. But nothing is actually beyond our reach. Instructions come, and then that instruction comes with empowerment. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that because Krishna knew the challenges that Madhavendra Puri was going to actually pass through with this heavy bulk of sandalwood and camphor. And after testing Madhavendra Puri, he found that Madhavendra Puri passed the examination. Now again, all of us are going to be tested at some point in time. If there is no test, how will we know? How are we going to be assessed? How are we going to be evaluated based on our excellence? If there is no examination, then we will not know how we are performed. How we are performing. How we are performing. So Mahaprabhu mentioned that Madhavendra Puri was tested directly by Krishna, by Gopa, by giving him those challenging tasks. But the challenge is a source of elevation. And that is how exactly Madhavendra Puri brought Krishna over. And so, it is important for us to understand, not only as paratologists. A paratology simply means repeating things like a parrot. A parrot is very expert at learning. And the type of learning that a parrot is very much inclined to is just to repeat things. But we have to go beyond just narrating things, because the narration itself is purifying, but the perfection of narratology is the application of the tenets that are inherent in a particular Vaishnava Vedantic episode. And therefore, as practitioners, or as people who are aspiring to be devotees of Lord Krishna, these wonderful stories, they are very enriching. And beyond even the enrichment of these stories, of these narrations, is that we are trying to emulate the wonderful transcendental values, the qualities of these very great acharyas. We have living examples, and therefore we cannot say, well, that instruction you are giving to me, Guru Maharaj, is too difficult. I cannot do that. I don't have the ability to do it. But we have to understand, no one has an ability to do anything. Krishna is the ability in man. And so we find that the only way to be able to bound Krishna is our unparalleled surrender to him. And when we do this, we can actually bound Krishna, control Krishna, and Krishna will do everything for us. Krishna again mentioned in the Gita that even though the things we don't have, he will supply. And the things we have, he will preserve. This is a typical example. Madhavendra Puri did not pray to Krishna, give me bread, give me milk. But Krishna supplied it anyway at a time that perhaps he was not even looking for it. He was just fasting. So Krishna knows our desires. Krishna knows the bottom of our hearts. And we cannot play pranks with Krishna. And so it is important that, just like we find in the case of Madhavendra Puri, anyone, even amongst all of us here, anyone Krishna could actually bring milk to him. Why not? Prabhupada went to America to preach without practically nothing. I think what Prabhupada did to, what Krishna did to Prabhupada, the supply he gave to Prabhupada, is more than a pot of milk. He supplied him so many things. He supplied him human resources, material resources, to establish an international society for Krishna consciousness, where all of us are now part of. And therefore, it is important for us to understand the lessons from these narrations of Madhavendra Puri. But the first point is, Madhavendra Puri, why did he leave Remuna in the dawn? I mean, towards the dawn of the day. He could be there. Krishna has done so much for him. He has brought Krishna over. Krishna is serving him now. And people are going to come and see him the next morning and glorify him, pay obeisances to him, worship him. This is a wonderful Krishna Bhakta. But he was afraid of Pratistha. He had to leave. He didn't want to identify with the fact that he was a great Vaishnava. And so, a good example for us. We should also be thinking in terms of whatever services we are doing, that Krishna is the one who rewards. And therefore, we may get praises here and there. We get pats on the back. But again, the pat on the back could actually cause us some stagnation, because we could think, well, I'm so wonderful, I'm so great. Look at my wonderful service, and everyone is now praising me. Everyone is now worshiping me. We have to act like Madhavendra Puri. We should be afraid of Pratishtha. And therefore, it is important for us, as we have gathered during this festival, we should be going back to our countries with basic transformations in our lives. In fact, we should never be the same. As we leave Mayapur back to our homes after the festival, we should never be the same. Because the whole idea of Prabhupada wanting members of the international society to come together is to be able to share wonderful pastimes of the Lord and His devotees, so that we could have a chance to understand that these qualities, these wonderful demands from Lord Krishna, are worthy, and we could also be part of that very wonderful pastime. So again, you find that Lord Chaitanya is not always alone. Before he came, he had sent several people, members of his entourage. I mean, just like if the president of America is going to a particular country, months ahead, there are people who have to be there in that country. The FBI, CIA, they will all be there checking out things. Madhavendra Puri is more or less one of Lord Chaitanya's FBI. He came to set things around. Why? He came to introduce Madhurya Bhava. He came to introduce Viraha Bhava. And so when Lord Chaitanya came and started demonstrating, practicalizing, showing how this Bhava that Radharani was experiencing is very much practical, it was no longer something new to most people, because his forerunner, Madhavendra Puri, had already initiated Madhurya Bhava and Viraha Bhava. And so, again, we find that we, all of us, have a chance to be able to participate in these pastimes. And the most important thing is that when we come to the dam, we should try to improve on the quality of our japa. The chanting of Madhavendra Puri is the major thing that attracted Lord Krishna. He was not chanting Hare Krishna, and his cell phone was by him, and he's waiting for calls to come in. He was completely absorbed in his bhajans. That should set a good example for us. If we have Krishna, if we believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if He is our Supreme Lover, when we are communicating with Him, we should not have other priorities of communication. If you love someone, take for instance, a young man and a young woman are newly wedded. They're out for honeymoon. The man will switch off his telephone. The woman will switch off her telephone. That period is meant for the lover and the beloved. So when we are doing a bhajan, also we should understand that we are in a honeymoon with Lord Krishna, and there should not be any interference. That absorption is what could actually purchase Krishna. And Krishna will one day bring us milk, if even we are not sleeping under a tree, if even we are sleeping in a very wonderful mansion like Mayapur, Krishna could still bring us the milk. Hare Krishna. Is there some comments or some questions? Or some challenges? Comments, questions, or challenges? I have many senior people here who could build me. Again, we thank you for sacrificing all your convenience and coming to Mayapur. And we thank the wonderful organizers, the residents of Mayapur, who have arranged wonderful things for all of us to come and be a part of to purify our existence. We thank the priests. Any comments, questions, or challenges? Yes.
Maharaj, thank you very much for reminding us that we don't have the ability to do anything, and Krishna has the ability in man. My question was regarding your statement that Krishna knows our desire, therefore we shouldn't be playing pranks. My question was, sometimes we may have really subtle desires, which we are not aware of. So what will Krishna listen to, a subtle desire or an intense prayer?
Can you repeat what you said?
What will Krishna then listen to, a subtle desire which we are not aware of or an intense prayer to overcome that anartha?
Desire has a lot of implications in our life. In fact, our very bodies, this very body that we are having, is based on cumulative desires. In statistics, we have what we call cumulative ogive, a graph system whereby it goes cumulatively. And so our bodies are simply embodiment of our cumulative desires. So whether it is a subtle desire or it's a prayer, we have to be careful. In Kali Yuga, if you simply are thinking of something, you don't get the reward for it. But if you sit on it and you are contemplating, like Krishna mentioned, from contemplate, it begins with contemplation. By contemplating on the objects of the sensory modalities or the objects of the senses with devolution attachment. And the issue is, or the problem is, if we don't check the unhealthy desires, then we could actually get into trouble. Because even the unhealthy desires, if we become attached to those unhealthy desires, it will result to a problem. But if we are able to checkmate it, sometimes people get disturbed that, I'm telling Hare Krishna for all this number of years. Why is this thought coming to me? Why is this thought coming to me? There's no problem about that. But you don't act on that thought. Acting on that thought could be two facets or two ways. You are resting on it and it becomes like an object of affection. That is dangerous. But if a thought just comes and you say, oh, this is not bad for me. This is not good for me. And then, you let it go. Then that is okay. The point is, if we make prayers, we get it very, very fast. I tell you a story. And one of my friends, he was still in college in Delhi. And so he told me a story. I won't mention his name. He told me a story which you need to hear. So that time I was in the U.S., so he sent me a mail saying that, Omara, this is what happened. Devotees, I was supposed to go for a yatra with devotees, but, I am supposedly the head of the base, so I'm supposed to go with all the devotees, but I didn't want to go for the yatra. I don't know why, but I didn't want to go. So I went to Radha Parthasarathi, and then I prayed to Radha Parthasarathi that, my dear Lord, I don't want to go to this yatra with these devotees. Do something about it. You know what happened to him? Few days later, he had a terrible accident. He was not injured, seriously. But he had a terrible accident that all the other devotees knew. Oh, he had an accident. He cannot go. So, Radha Parthasarathi is to fulfill his desire. Prayers, we should be careful. We should make good prayers. But even good prayers, it takes time for Krishna to reciprocate. Again, we should not say, but I've been praying, I've been asking Krishna for this for a long time. We should not give up. We should be hopeful. Hopefulness is better than optimism. Hopefulness is divine. Hope is divine. Optimism is simply based on one's mechanical advantage by dint of our potentialities or our perceived potentialities. But hope means we are helpless. We are clinging on some higher help. So again, prayers is good, but we should be careful about what we are praying for. We pray for batting. We are supposed to pray for the best. Please don't pray for bad things. Especially when you come before the deities, our thoughts and prayers should be positive. Does it make any meaning? All right. Any other comments or questions? We have some few minutes more. Yes. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You just said once we come before the deity, the thoughts should be pure and positive.
No. I said our thoughts should be careful. Our thoughts cannot be pure. We are in a conditioned state.
So we must be careful, right? But then we always strive enough to be careful. But still what happens is when we are in front of the deities, you know, we tend to deviate. And in spite we are standing in front of them, you know, mind wanders here and there. So the prayers that we are offering at that particular point of time, would Krishna consider them?
See, when Arjuna raised the issue of the challenges of the mind, the difficulties with the mind, Krishna didn't wave it up and say, come on, this is ridiculous. What are you talking about? I'm here with you and, you know, you should be comported. Krishna resonated with Arjuna's query. Arjuna raised the issue. This mind is so difficult to control. So Krishna reiterated, Chanchalahi Manakrishna. Mentioned Chanchalahi Manakrishna. Mind is always wandering. So Krishna reiterated that, yes. You're right. Mind is very difficult to control. Very difficult to control, Arjuna. But with regular practice and detachment. So if we are coming to say some prayers and some ill thought come to us, we should brush it aside. And again in Kali Yoga, you are not going to be held responsible by your thoughts. It is only when you execute those thoughts that you become responsible. So we should not be overly worried about what thoughts we are having, but we should channel our energies towards Krishna. And in that way, even those negative thoughts will become purified. We should not unnecessarily frustrate ourselves or other people by just batching people. Like, oh, because you are thinking like this, you're just a bunch of nonsense. No, it shouldn't be like that. A speaker should have an understanding that his basic criteria is to motivate and inspire people, not to bash people. Correct? Oh, yeah. All right. Again, thank you for coming. We like to call it. Can you read it? This is a question from someone. Because some people are shy to ask questions, raising up their hand. So, I forgot. I mean, in most temples, I think this is their methodology. They send papers around for people to write, because some people are shy to ask questions. So here's a question. Dear Maharaj, what about if a devotee wants a good life or a good husband? Will Krishna provide the proper one? Why not? Krishna is the wish-fulfilling tree. He's been fulfilling the desires of everyone since time immemorial. Huh? In fact, if you pray to Krishna, he fulfills your desire. I remember in Delhi, I was in Delhi, so I was going to the general manager's office. One lady, one Mataji, she came. Bro, pay business. I said, tell me, what is the problem? She said, she's been praying to Padasarati that she has a chance to meet with me because he's very friendly to my other god brother, Damodar Maharaj. And so here, Padasarati has fulfilled her desire. So why not? If you have a desire, you should understand one of the angles of surrender is that it's only Krishna that will protect us. And whatever that is favorable in our Krishna consciousness is what we should execute. And that is what we should pursue. So having a good husband is a very wonderful, thing. So if a female devotee wants a good husband, you should pray to Krishna. Why not? Krishna will fulfill your desire. If a man wants a good wife, you should pray to Krishna. Huh? Krishna, he mentioned in the Bhagavatam, whatever desires we have, Sarva karma. What if even we have all the desires in this world, if even we have moksha, we have attained moksha, we can always approach Krishna. Krishna's doors are always very open. Of course, sometimes, you know, we bash people that, this is material desire. Come on, what are you talking about? All of us are not on the same level. Some people even beg Krishna for bread. So, making your prayers based on one's level, we cannot really discriminate. Of course, the highest prayer is what we are doing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are asking Krishna, engage us in your service. But again, if you read the Bhagavatam, you read the Bhagavad Gita, it's replete, they are replete with prayers. Arjuna was making prayers. Mother Kunti was making prayers. You find Gajendra was making prayers. But the prayers are on different levels. There are prayers in the mode of transcendental goodness. There are prayers in the mode of goodness. There are prayers in the mode of mixed goodness and passion. Like that. There are different permutations in terms of the modes of material nature governing our prayers. But there's nothing wrong in making, approaching Krishna for whatever our needs are. That's certified in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any other comments or questions? All right, so I think we have 5 minutes left and we can stop there instead of going beyond the time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Madhavendra Puru ki.
Outside, no?